Welcome to another episode of the TCT Podcast. TCT is a network of local churches scattered around the country and Becoming International, that stands for Treasuring Christ Together. You can find out more about TCT at tctnetwork.org, but I want to go ahead and point you to a few other online places that you can check out that are going to be relevant to today's episode. And those sources are our sister entity for theological training, that is Bethlehem College and Seminary. TCT and BCS have this sweet sisterhood and partnership. It has manifested in all sorts of good ways through the years. BCS is a local church-based college and seminary that was founded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I'm sitting in Memphis, Tennessee right now, where there is an extension campus of BCS and has been for a few years. You can find out about that extension campus at bcsmn.edu/Memphis, bcsmn.edu/Memphis. And I also want to go ahead and point you to two other related sites. They're on the BCS site, bcsmn.edu. You could also go to /Hawaii, where there is, Lord willing, going to be another expression of a BCS extension site. And while I'm at it, you could look for what the Lord is doing in Cameroon, in Africa, where there's yet another extension site emerging of the BCS theological training expression. And then the final place, so TCT, BCS, and then one more, and this is relevant to today's guest. You could go to chrisbruno.net, N-E-T, and you can find out more about what you're going to hear about today, how you can pray, and how you can be involved in what the Lord's doing. Well, with that, let me welcome today's guest. Chris, welcome, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jordan. It's great to be with you here in Memphis and have a chance to chat together.
Yeah. Well, as Chris said, we're sitting in Memphis, Tennessee, so I'm thankful he was able to come down for the weekend. He spent time yesterday with Grace Church, where I'm one of the pastors, and he's also spending time with a number of the faculty and leaders of the BCS Extension site here in Memphis. But, brother, I'm sorry that it's not Hawaii, but I appreciate you coming down to God's second favorite place on earth.
Yeah, I'm happy to escape the February temperatures in Minnesota that I left behind for my poor wife to deal with.
Yeah, what'd you say yesterday at church? The weather here was probably the upper 40s, maybe 50s, something like that by the time the day was done. But in Minneapolis, what was it yesterday?
I think it was 17 below when I woke up in the morning. And it inched its way up to like zero, maybe.
Yeah, this is like thermal by that time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my 14-year-old son, I told him this morning I was coming to grab you for lunch, and he said, did he say 17 below?
Is that even scientifically possible?
I was like, yeah, bro, that's just like your bones hurt, you know, at that point when you go up. Okay, well, Chris, tell us just a little about yourself, kind of the basic lay of the land. You just mentioned you have a wife, so tell us about your wife and kids and family.
Yeah, so my wife Katie and I, on June 2nd of this year, 2021, we will be married 20 years, God willing. So it's amazing to think it's been that long. We were 21 and 20 when we got married, so you can do the math on our ages. But half my life been married to Katie, which is such a gift from the Lord. We met in college. We went to a little Bible college in northeast Wisconsin. I grew up in southeastern Michigan, and she grew up in Wisconsin. So we are a Midwest couple, met in Wisconsin, got married just after I finished college. And when she had 1 year left, we bounced around the Midwest a little bit. If you count Louisville as the Midwest, but we were in Minneapolis, Louisville, Chicago. I was doing theological training and gaining some ministry experience along the way. And the Lord has given us 4 sons, Luke, Simon, Elliot, Noah, aged 16, 13, 11, and 5. Our 5-year-old Noah just had a birthday a couple weeks ago. So we are grateful to God for our boys and our family, and excited to get back to Hawaii. So was that part of your question as well?
Yeah. Let me just jump in right there. And what I want to do, for the listeners, some who are going to stumble upon this episode know a little bit of the story, but I'm thinking especially of the people never heard your name, don't know BCS, and therefore obviously don't know your story. So let's just back up.
Absolutely.
Sequentially, and let's back up and we'll go Hawaii, Minneapolis, Hawaii. All right, so what's the background to your connection to Hawaii, especially as a Midwest guy?
Yeah, I get that question often, like, oh, are you from Hawaii? No. You're from Michigan? How'd you end up there? Well, the short version, or maybe the medium version of the story, is when I was finishing up high school, 1998, I emailed all of our church's missionaries. Now, this is before all the missionaries actually had email addresses that they listed, so that dates me a little bit. But one of the guys who had been sent out from our church was a church planner in Hawaii. And he and I connected and struck up a friendship of sorts, and he invited me out there. And I spent two summers as a pastoral intern on Oahu. So if you're not familiar with the Hawaiian Islands, the most populated island is Oahu. That's where Honolulu is, Pearl Harbor, etc. And there are three other larger islands and then a couple of other ones that are also have a small population on them. So I spent two summers on Oahu doing ministry, seeing just what life is like there, getting kind of behind the veneer of beaches and Waikiki and that kind of stuff, and seeing that there are real gospel needs and real gospel opportunities. So I, when I finished college and went off to seminary, I told folks, we think God is calling us to plant a church in Hawaii. And went through my theological training, kind of with that in my mind at some level or another. It was fading a little bit, or at least in the sense of, well, we're not sure what God's doing. Went on to do a PhD after I finished my master's degree. And when I finished that, we actually had a job lined up on the West Coast at a church. And that's a whole nother story for another day. But at the last minute, it seemed like, I'll put it this way. It seemed like everything was good to go. And then at the last minute, the wheels fell off. And we didn't have a next step. So finished the degree. We had this long-term plan. Finish the degree and then see what God does. Seemed like God was redirecting us to the West Coast. But that didn't happen. And in his providence, he reconnected us with some folks in Hawaii. And to make another long story short, we ended up raising some support and then coming on part-time staff at a church out there where I was a pastor and helped lead a theological training institute, a little pastoral training partnership that five or six churches banded together to start. So we had some wonderful years of ministry out there. We saw God open a lot of doors, connected with a lot of folks. Some of my dearest friends are still out there doing ministry. Some of the guys that we helped equip in this institute are pastors now and will be partners of the ministry that we're going back to. So in many ways, Hawaii has been our ministry home for a long time now. In God's providence, he redirected us to Minnesota 4 years ago, and which was confusing and challenging, but we felt like it was clearly what God was pressing us towards. So we left Hawaii, moved to Minnesota in the summer of 2017 to teach at Bethlehem College and Seminary, which is what I've been doing for the last few years, but continued to have a heart for the islands, continued to go back there. I would lead ministry trips back there, take students back, stay connected with a lot of close friends there, and I always felt like perhaps the Lord would call us back out there at some point.
Yeah.
Now, that's the... maybe I'll stop there and let you follow up on any of that.
No, I could tap on just a few parts of that story, but just for our listeners' sake, give the front and back date of your first Hawaii stint. When did you head to Hawaii, you said, for that first pastor.
Yeah.
And then when did you move to Minneapolis?
Yeah, so we moved to Hawaii the first time in February 2012.
Okay.
Then we moved to Minneapolis in summer of
2017.
17, okay. Yeah, and like I said, it was difficult to leave.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, but you know, there are a lot of circumstances in our lives that seemed like it was clear the Lord was redirecting our path back to the mainland.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, then transitioning to Minneapolis, you said you went to teach at BCS. For those who may be unaware, Chris has penned several resources, some books. You can find those, you know, just Google his name and book or something like that, and you'll find some of the resources he's put together. What have you been teaching at BCS Minneapolis for these last few years?
Yeah, I've been teaching Greek, biblical theology, biblical interpretation, those types of books, classes. Biblical theology is really my bread and butter. That's what I love. I love to see how the whole Bible fits together and centers on Jesus. So I've taught college and seminary biblical theology classes, and then some other biblical interpretation and Greek type classes.
Great. Yeah. Well, a lot of people who listen to this, I say a lot, you know, both of the people who listen to this, this podcast.
Hello to both of them.
they're my wife and my son.
Yeah.
So so a lot of pastors are kind of our primary audience, particularly the TCT network, it appears. So biblical theology, that category is going to make sense to people. You said it's your bread and butter, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's get out of the classroom.
Okay.
Let's get into the heart. Give us one kind of 60-second Jesus. How the Bible centers on Jesus. So give us any passage that boils to the top of your heart right now that doesn't have Jesus's name explicitly in it, and give us a little heart.
Yeah, you are putting me on the spot. Let me think about that for a second. I mean, one thing I would say is, as we read through the Psalms, every psalm, I think, in some form or fashion, points us to Jesus. So sometimes you'll hear scholars or commentaries or teachers ask the question, is this a messianic psalm? And I want to say to them, they're all messianic psalms at some level or another. Obviously, we see some of the prophecies, like Psalm 110, you know, set at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet type of prophecies.
Yep.
But you also see embodied in the Psalms the experiences of God's people, both the highs and the lows. And Jesus embodies those. Just this morning, I was writing a little devotional for our church for Holy Week coming up in a couple months here, from when we're recording this at least. And reflecting on the those who mocked Jesus. You have the rulers, the Roman authorities, the Jewish authorities. You have people passing by. You even have the two criminals on either side of him mocking him in Matthew 27. So everybody. Mm-hmm. And where do we see that experience embodied earlier in the scripture? And where do we see kind of the emotional toil and turmoil expressed? Well, in the words of the psalmist. So everything that the psalmist expresses, whether it's David or others writing the Psalms, expresses how the people of God respond to both God's promises of salvation, but also the reality of brokenness in the world and persecution and mocking. And so all of that, in a sense, is pointing forward to Jesus, because who experienced that to the fullest? The Lord Jesus did. Who experienced the pain that sin brings into the world to the fullest? The Lord Jesus did, because he wasn't complicit in it. He wasn't guilty of it, but he experienced all of the consequences of it, yes, in a fallen world, but particularly at the cross, right?
Yeah.
So as we read through the Psalms, we see not just prophecies of Jesus, not just pointers to Jesus in kind of the traditional prophetic words, but also in the very experience of the psalmist. So all of that points us forward to Jesus. That's why Jesus can cry out on Psalm on the cross from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22:1, with the expectation that he'll be vindicated by the end of the psalm.
Yeah, praise God. No, this episode's about to take another turn because yeah, I'm encouraged by that. I'm reminded of so many things that, as the Spirit loves to do, bring to our remembrance, you know, all that he said he does for the apostles and then through their writings does. But just a few comments that were triggered in my heart as you were talking. One is, therefore, he can sympathize with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely every experience of our life. Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of people say to us, meaning well when we're in a hard spot, I know what you're going through, but they really have no clue.
Right.
Because they haven't literally been there. But Jesus, in this precious way, can sympathize with us in our weakness. Mm-hmm. He himself been tempted in all ways that we are. So there's one beautiful aspect of the Redeemer. He's so intimately acquainted with all of our ways because he has actually experienced them more deeply than we have. Amen. All right. And then the second thing I would say is, yeah, I mean, just the fact that the Psalms bubbled to your mind. If I ask you the same question 2 minutes from now, you may think of a different theme or passage in the Old Testament. But the fact that that one bubbled to your mind reminds me of the day Jesus rises from the dead. He could have said, you know, all sorts of glorious things that would have made our minds spin. But he says to his best friends, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms are about me. The things written about me there. So I'm going to recommend two resources, both of which you may have been acquainted with and have some misgivings about or never heard of and therefore not able to endorse. But at that risk, I'm going to recommend two small, I mean paperback, less than 200 page, more like the 150 page range. One is James Adams, not the counselor, but another fellow. War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. It's on the imprecatory psalms, which are tough.
Yeah.
And his lens is they're all prayers of Jesus.
Yeah.
Praying down God's wrath on God's enemies.
Yeah.
And he deals with each of them, I think, in a very compelling Christocentric way.
Yeah.
So there's one resource.
And I don't know that book. I'll have to check that
out. Yeah, it's a good one. And then another one is by a friend here in Memphis who actually has some Bethlehem, Minneapolis ties, Ron Mann. He's a worship pastor at a local church here in the Memphis area and good friends with Chuck Stedham, worship pastor at Bethlehem and others. And Ron wrote a book. It was actually his dissertation called Proclamation and Praise from Hebrews 2, which cites the Psalms concerning Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, the writer of Hebrews says of Jesus, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. So there's Jesus praising the Father in the midst. Something happens in gathered worship where Jesus offers praise to the Father. That's Ron's argument. And second, the verse says, I will make known your name to my brethren. So Jesus is the one in his risen presence by the Spirit making God's name known to God's people. And Psalm and Proverbs say, those who know your name will put their trust in you. And, you know, Jesus prays, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. Well, anyway, Proclamation and Praise, Ron Mann, and then War Psalms of the Prince of Peace by James Adams. So, a resource come to your mind or something that I said trigger something you want to say to God?
Yeah, I mean, not a resource, but just kind of an interpretive practice. I think what I tend to encourage people to do as they read the Psalms is not go straight from the Psalm to us.
Yes.
But rather go from the psalm to Jesus to us.
Yeah.
Remembering that because we're united to Christ, we share in all of that. We share in the victory that he wins. We share in his suffering. We share in his glory. But so often we just jump from psalm to us, which I totally get because it's expressing emotions that we feel.
Totally.
And so there's a sense in which I don't want to poo-poo that. But, you know, without Christ, I think we're missing a major step there.
Yeah.
Even what you said, Jordan, about Christ sympathizes with us in our weakness. If we're reading about the lament psalm, for example, and we jump straight from the lament to our experience, that can be helpful, and I think the Lord will use that in a lot of ways. But if we jump from the lament to Christ lamenting in his suffering, and then as our sympathetic high priest, then we bring it into our situation. And not only can we lament some real pain or suffering that we may be going through, but we'll also be able to lament it alongside of Jesus, who is sympathizing with us, who's interceding for us, and ultimately who's going to bring us comfort and peace.
And then lament with hope. There's the gospel.
That's right.
There's the gospel. Yeah, good. Well, this, I did not prep you for that. Yeah. This episode had really nothing to do with it. But yeah, praise God. I'm encouraged. And maybe both of our listeners will be prompted to something helpful. But that actually does relate to where I want to go. So we went, concerning your story, kind of sequentially, okay, you spent a stint in Hawaii. You've been teaching at BCS Minneapolis. And now you're headed back to Hawaii. So the connection that is obvious to me is, I think what we've just kind of mutually meditated on for a few moments is a reflection of something you're hoping to do with students over in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the work that you sense the Lord's entrusted to you. What are you going back to Hawaii to do? What's it going to look like? Who are you partnering with?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we had spent a number of years before involved in both pastoral ministry, but also theological training on some level. And so what we're going back to do is kind of the descendant of what we set out to do almost 10 years ago now, in that we think there's a need for robust, in-person, church-based, church-partnered theological training in the Hawaiian Islands and beyond. So what I experienced at Bethlehem when I was a pastoral apprentice from 2002 to 2004, just kind of alluded to that quickly when I was given an overview. But I spent 2 years doing that. And now I've been teaching at the seminary for 4 years, seeing how doing this kind of theological training in the life of the church is so valuable, so important. In the theological vision that Bethlehem TCT shares, that we want to treasure Christ and spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all people through Jesus Christ. We want to do that more and more. So we want to bring that back to Hawaii. So we're being sent out from Bethlehem Baptist Church as global partners with Training Leaders International, which is another dear sister organization.
Amen.
Also started out of Bethlehem Baptist Church. As it was originally a kind of Bethlehem's in-house missions agency, but it's now independent, but closely linked in so many ways. So we're going to be sent out with TLI, Training Leaders International, to do formal and informal training in Hawaii and the Pacific Islands. See, the reality is, if I can just tell a little bit more of our story, about a year and a half ago now, my wife Katie and I were back in Hawaii, so this was summer of 2019, leading a ministry trip there. And we were sitting on a friend's lanai, which is like a porch. So it's a Hawaiian word for porch. So we're sitting outside. It was in the morning. We were drinking coffee, reading our Bibles, and just kind of reflecting on, okay, we're back here again. We both feel this continued sense of calling to this place, but aren't sure whether we just keep doing what we're doing, live in Minneapolis, come back once or twice a year, or is God calling us to take one more run at this thing in a substantial way? So we got back to Minnesota, committed to pray together, committed to start talking to our pastors. So Went to breakfast with Dave Zuliger, who's a TCT brother. I think he's on the leadership team or something. He had just come to Bethlehem South, where we are members. And Dave and I have become close friends. We were still, I think we were still getting to know each other a little more at that point, and said, "Hey, here's what's going on." And he told me, "I think you should try to get back as soon as possible." That was substantial, that, you know, a pastor would say that to me. I had lunch with some guys from TLI, had lunch with some leadership at BCS, and we just kept seeing everybody affirm this desire to go back, because, like we said, there's a need for solid theological training there, and there's an opportunity there. Now, if you don't know a lot about Hawaii, other than maybe watching Hawaii 5-0 or Magnum PI or something like that, yes, it's a beautiful place. Yes, I don't deny all of that kind of stuff. But there are some unique opportunities there and some unique needs. In many ways, it can be a dark place. It's where East meets West. So there's a lot of influence from Asian countries and Pacific Islands, which brings a lot of great strengths, but also some unique opportunities. And culturally, you have Pacific Islander culture, Japanese culture, Chinese culture, surfer culture, military culture, on and on we could go. So there are all these layers of culture there, which creates a lot of really fun ministry opportunities, so that you can equip people and send them out to places that are really accessible to them, both geographically and culturally, in a way they're not to me, living in Minnesota. So all those opportunities were in front of us. And as we talked to people, our pastor said, "Yeah, you should go." The guys at Training Leaders International said, "Yeah, we'd love to partner with you. Just tell us what you want to do." And then the folks at Bethlehem College and Seminary, now I brought this harebrained idea to them to start an extension out there. Not sure what they'd say. I wrote up, like a 3 or 4 page paper, because that's what we do at Bethlehem. We write papers.
That's right. I've been there, brother. The memo.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote one of those and sent it off to the president, Tim Tomlinson, and he wrote me back and said, I forget his exact wording, but something like, "I'm very enthusiastic about this proposal." And so it seemed like the Lord was just opening doors and pressing us forward to go back there to do theological training in a more robust way than we were able to do it before. Yeah. So as we look back and see God's providence, the first time we went, we just kind of went on a wing and a prayer, making it up as we went, which the Lord used that in a lot of ways. But we're going back with some really solid institutional support. And then on the ground there, there are maybe 10 or 12 churches who are committed to partner with us on some level. They've invited us essentially to come and start the BCS extension. There's pastor friends who are going to teach alongside of me in the BCS extension. And then the last thing I'll say before I'll let you jump back in is, we plan to do long-term a series of theological training both in Hawaii and the Pacific Islands through TLI. And this is non-formal theological training.
Yep.
So what we want to do is start a series of, we call them preaching workshops, and maybe do some other informal curriculum bouncing around places like American Samoa, Fiji, Vanuatu, even as far as Guam, and getting closer to Asia, all these little Pacific islands where they don't have a lot of opportunity for solid theological training. So we just want to come alongside, serve them, equip them however we can, and then see how the Lord will multiply that and even dispatch some of these folks to different places that where the gospel is not.
Amen. Amen. No, well, we're thankful for your work. And as a city that has an extension campus of BCS in it, here in Memphis, and pastoring in that city, I can say we have benefited as a local church tremendously as a result of the expression of that campus in our backyard. And we just look with great optimism and prayerfulness about what the Lord may do regionally and beyond as a result of that. So as you're describing the desire, I pray that the Lord will cause those 10 or 12 churches that are initially partnering together in this work in Hawaii to sooner rather than later become double and triple, throughout the islands and in Hawaii. So thank you for your work. Last but not least, I just want to mention two things about the work and about reminding people where they can get connected to it and about how to get involved with it. So you can go to chrisbruno.net. You'll find links there to everything we've mentioned, the BCS links and so forth. But I especially want to draw your attention to just a very short, well-done video that you can watch that'll encapsulate really the heart of what the Lord's called Chris and this team to do. Soon. And then second, they are looking for partners in multiple ways. So material, monetary, yes. But, as romantic as this may sound, it very well may be a good way to partner a short-term trip. Being involved in either the training teaching component or in some other way. And you can find that information about that at chrisbruno.net. He said to our church yesterday morning, we could have a sticker or a magnet on the condition that we'd pray for them one or two times. And so that's the last thing I want to say. You've heard his reflection on getting to Christ from the Psalms and other things that I hope would have encouraged you. He's written some resources you can go take a look at that are useful not only for seminarians and pastor theologians, but just intro Bible accessibility. I want to commend his two books for basic beginner Christianity 101 to you. Go take a look at those. But I would say this is a work that's very much worthy of praying for, asking for God's blessing on. So that's what I want to leave you with. If you've enjoyed anything in the episode, then if you can, pause at the end of it. And say a prayer for Chris. Any last thing you want to sign off with, brother?
Yeah, well, I appreciate so much that last word. We, Paul tells the Corinthians that they labor together with him in prayer. Mm-hmm. So as we look for partners, I always tell people we want partners, yes, financially. And by God's grace, we've seen him provide. Even through this COVID weirdness, we've seen God provide. So we're getting close to our monthly funding goal. So we're praying for more of that, though. And then sending ministry teams. We'd love to host teams. We haven't even got into a lot of the different ways that you might be able to serve: church plants and camping ministry. There's a TCT church in California that's starting to connect with a new church plant on Oahu. And so seeing some connections there happening. So reach out to me about those. But then laboring together in prayer, that is not an insignificant thing. If people commit to pray for us, which I know they have, and I think that's why God has sped all these things along in different ways. I know people are praying for us, so we so appreciate the prayers of God's people and long for more of it.
Amen. Well, brother, thanks so much for the time, and we are trusting this good work to our good God.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah.